One of my favorite movies is The Gladiator, starring my man, my boy, Russell Crowe. And there's this really cool, fascinating line in the movie where Russell Crowe, the general, says to his soldiers, "What you do in this life echoes into eternity. What you do today on this battlefield echoes into eternity." And he was able to rally his troops into the victory. I love that line. What you do today, what you do in this life echoes into eternity, because just like you and me, I want my life to count. And I know this about you. You want your life to matter. You want your life to count. You want to make a difference. In a simple word, destiny. What are you destined for? Well, let me put it this way. I often think about my own funeral. Now, it's not morbid. It's a good exercise. Imagine you are there, and all your friends and all your family, all your loved ones, and all these people are present to pay respects. What do you want people to say about you? How do you want to be remembered by? For me, I want people to say, "Hey, Victor made a difference." How? He was used by God to bring me to Jesus. I want people to say, "He was used by the Holy Spirit, and I became a disciple of Christ, a follower of Christ." But more than that, I want people to say, "Victor was used by Jesus Christ, and he made me a disciple." Who make disciples? Who make disciples? Who make disciples? In a word, we're talking about the mission of Jesus. A word that's synonym or synonymous with the word mission of Jesus is movement. Jesus came here in this world, into the world, to start a mission, a movement, a movement. And that movement is this: to reach out to the people, to make disciples, who make disciples, who make disciples of Jesus Christ. Let's get to the text. The passage for today is Matthew 28. It's at the very end of the book of Matthew, the Gospel according to Matthew. And it's the last book in the book, and it's the last chapter. It's the last chapter in the book, rather, and it's the last verses in the book of Matthew. Starting at verse 16, hear the word of the Lord. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee. And that's a key thing. They went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Here's the context. The gospel of Jesus Christ, according to Matthew, captures the birth, the life, the teaching, the legacy, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And at the very end of the book, this is after Jesus was crucified, he rose from the dead, and he appeared before his disciples, his followers. And then he says this: "Go to Galilee, because I am going to commission you to go make disciples of all nations." So this is very important, known as the Great Commission. One scholar says, if you understand, if you grasp the true meaning of this passage, this very short text, then you understand the entire book of Matthew. Let me put it this way. If you fail to understand and grasp this short passage, then you will miss the whole point of the book of Matthew. And conversely, if you get it, if you receive the pathos and the ethos of this short passage, the Great Commission, then you understand the meaning of the entire book of Matthew. Now, here's the big idea. The theme and the goal is this: Jesus is commanding you to continue his movement. which is to multiply Jesus. Jesus is commanding you to what? Continue his movement, his mission, which means to multiply Jesus. He's not asking you. He's not suggesting you. He is not making recommendations. He is an imperative. He's commanding you. He's giving you an order as his followers and disciples to do what? To make disciples, to continue his movement, which is to multiply Jesus. And in this Great Commission, you make disciples by engaging in four ways. Number one, by going. Number two, by baptizing. And number three, by teaching. And number four, by entrusting. So let's get to it. Make disciples of all nations. Jesus is commanding you and me. Question for you. What is a disciple? Now, we don't fully understand the meaning of the word disciple because this is a Hebrew concept. You and I, we live in Canada, North America. And in 2020, the idea and the concept of disciples or disciple making or discipleship is very foreign. Oftentimes, the word is translated into followers. Now, so let me help you and me to understand this more fully. Matthew, the book of Matthew, was written by a Jewish person, Matthew, and his audience was the Jewish people. And that's why, of the four gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew is the most Jewish in its context, in its nuances, in its language. So case in point, John explains much of the terminologies because John's audience was non-Hebrew, non-Jewish people, the Greeks. But in Matthew, Matthew assumes that his audience understands what a disciple is. So again, the question is, what is a disciple? In order for you to understand this idea, you have to ask the question, what's the relationship in which a disciple is? Well, the answer is, a disciple is in a relationship with a rabbi. Again, rabbi is a Hebrew word for what? Teacher. And that's where translation fails to convey the full meaning. The Hebrew word rabbi, which we know as in the English word teacher, is much more than that. A rabbi receives disciples. Disciples follow their rabbi. And a disciple is someone who does at least three things. Okay? Information, passion, and devotion. Information. When a disciple follows a rabbi, you are saying to the rabbi, I want to attain your knowledge, your wisdom. Okay? Second, passion. I want to be passionate for the things that you are passionate about, Rabbi. What makes you sad? That makes me sad. What makes you glad? That makes me glad. So knowledge, passion, and lastly, devotion. This is the priorities. What is important to you becomes important to me. What you are devoting yourself to as my rabbi, and for the rest of my life, I am going to devote my energies, my devotions, and my priorities in such a way that I receive and I become like you. And lastly, a disciple is someone who becomes like the rabbi in his character. So it's more than just retaining the information and the knowledge, is it? It's the full package. So a disciple of Jesus Christ is someone who says, I desire to attain the knowledge of Jesus Christ, his philosophy, his ideology, his teachings. That's one. A disciple of Christ is someone who says, passion. I want to be passionate about the things for which Jesus is passionate. And a disciple of Christ is someone who says, I want to devote my life. I want to be devoted to the things that Jesus devoted his life to. Priorities, making a legacy, making disciples. So we make disciples. We make disciples by engaging in those four steps. By going, by baptizing, by teaching, and by in trusting. But let me just take one more minute to convey this thrust. Jesus says to the disciples in Matthew 28, go to Galilee. I told you, as I was reading it, pay attention to that word, that location. Because right before this passage, Jesus rose from the dead, right? And then the angel appeared before Mary Magdalene and another Mary. And the angel told those two Marys, hey, go tell his disciples, tell them to go where? To Galilee, as Jesus told them to go. So they were going to tell the disciples to go to Galilee, and then Jesus appears before those two women, and he repeats the exact same thing that the angel had told them. Go tell my disciples to go to Galilee. So what is the significance of Galilee? When a Bible keeps saying the same thing over and over again, when there's a repetition, guess what? You pay attention. So what's the big deal about Galilee? Galilee was about 150 kilometers or 200 kilometers away from Jerusalem. That's where the disciples were when the two Marys went and told them to go to Galilee and meet Jesus. They were in Jerusalem, and Galilee was how far away? About 150 to 200 kilometers, depending on which part of Jerusalem and which part of Galilee you are going. So let's just say 175 kilometers. In those days, the average distance that a person walked was about 15 to 18 kilometers a day. So that meant the disciples invested up more than a week, about a week, walking from Jerusalem to Galilee. So this was a big deal. Why did Jesus tell us go to Galilee? Why are we walking all day, every day, for the entire week to go see Jesus in Galilee? Why doesn't Jesus just appear before us in Jerusalem? And the answer is found in the book of Matthew. Where did Jesus begin his movement? Where did his mission start? The answer is Galilee, Matthew chapter 3 and 4. His mission took off in Galilee. His movement began out of Galilee. And now he is telling his disciples to go to Galilee to say, as if to mean, my movement began in Galilee, and as I'm leaving out of Galilee, you continue with my mission, you continue with my movement, where? In Galilee. And again, the significance is, I want you to make disciples. Who make disciples? Who make disciples? I want you to continue with my movement. How? By multiplying Jesus. So that is his command to you and me. If you are a follower, a disciple of Christ, if you and I consider ourselves disciples of Jesus, then we should listen to the commanding voice of the risen Christ. And he says, continue with my movement. Multiply Jesus. And that is the mission of the church. And that is the purpose of the church. And this is the calling in your life. And I'll get to that later on. But let me just say this. We make disciples. We share Jesus with others in our life in such a way that they become followers, disciples of Jesus, who make disciples, who make disciples, who make disciples. And that is the calling, and that is the command, and that is the journey, and that is the joy, your destiny and mine. So how do we make disciples? Christ says, go and make disciples of all the nations, right? Or first, by going. The main verb in the sentence is make disciples, and everything else is a participle, okay? So these words become the means by which we make disciples. So how do we make disciples who make disciples who make disciples? First is by going. It's a participle, and it's best translated in this way. Having been gone, we make disciples. So we make disciples by first going. We don't stay where we are here in our comfort zones, in our good and comfortable, warm, fuzzy environments. No, we are being sent out. Let me give you a few examples. Christ gave this command to Peter and all the disciples. Guess what Peter did? He left Jerusalem. He left his home and he went to all of Judea, all of Judea. He didn't stay. He made disciples by having been gone. The Apostle Paul, he left Jerusalem and he went into the entire Roman world, to the Greek cultures. He went everywhere. He didn't stay in his hometown. He didn't stay in his environment. He went. What about Philip? Philip was another disciple. Now, according to a legend, he had 7 daughters. And he left Jerusalem. He left Israel. And he went all over the world. And he went to this major cosmopolitan, this city, and where he faced oppositions and persecution. He had 7 daughters, okay? And one after another, his daughters were killed right before his eyes. And he was told, if you denounce Jesus, if you stop making disciples, if you shut your mouth up, we will spare your daughters. And all the daughters of Philip said, Dad, don't do it. We are disciples of Jesus Christ. You remain faithful to him. We remain faithful to him. And together, we make disciples who make disciples. Une and I, my wife and I, we went to the city and we went to this temple, this synagogue, this church, which had 7 walls. Why? Because that church was built in the honor of Philip and his 7 daughters. So we make disciples by having been gone. And we call this sent out. We are being sent out in the power of the Holy Spirit. We make disciples also by baptizing. See, Jesus says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Baptism is the outward symbol, the outward sign that someone has crossed the line of faith. Someone said, hey, I heard from somebody else that Jesus is the hope of the world. I heard from somebody else that in Jesus Christ, there's meaning and purpose, there's destiny, and I want my life to count. I heard from somebody else that what I do in this life echoes into eternity. And I heard somebody else that only in Jesus, God accepts me, God loves me, God adopts me as his own child. So I want to be baptized. So baptism symbolizes dying to my old self and rising in the life, the new life, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And therefore, you ought to be baptized. Every disciple of Jesus Christ ought to be baptized because it is a sign and a seal that I am following Jesus, that I'm being transformed in the renewing power of the Holy Spirit. Let me make sure that you hear me correctly. Just because you're baptized does not make you a disciple any more than being in a McDonald's restaurant makes you a hamburger or a Big Mac. Being baptized is a sign and a seal that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, that you are living in his new life, that you are dying, drowning your old self in the baptismal water. Does that make sense? Okay. So we make disciples by going. We make disciples by baptizing. Now, by now, you have some obstacles. You have some questions, objections even. Say, hey, I don't mind sharing Jesus when asked. In fact, in my work setting, I'm not allowed to share my faith with my colleagues. We get that. Okay? We respect that. We must. Okay? But again, the idea, Jesus is not saying, simply wait. He is saying, go. I am sending you. You are being sent out. We make disciples by going. And therefore, you are always, always, always being receptive to the opportunities. You're not simply waiting for the opportunities to appear. You are looking for the opportunities. And if you do it in a fashion that is respectful, honorable, non-threatening, people will be receptive. Your colleagues will be receptive. So let's continue on. We make disciples by going. Number two, by baptizing. And number three, by teaching. Christ says, teach them to obey everything I commanded you. He's talking about maturity. Everything I commanded you, have them obey them. See, this is how you know you are an infant follower of Christ or a mature disciple of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter where you are at today. You may be an infant disciple. You may be a toddler disciple. You may be an adolescent disciple. You may be a fully grown adult, mature disciple. It doesn't matter where you are at today. What does matter to Jesus Christ is that you are maturing, that you are growing. It's a question for you. Compare your faith maturity as a disciple of Christ between now and, say, last year. Have you grown? Have you matured? Or are you still in your diapers? Are you still drinking milk? You are not eating solid food. And is that because you are not concerned about obeying Jesus in your life, in your convictions, in your spiritual journey? Or you're simply coasting? How would you answer the question? Are you fully devoted follower, disciple of Jesus Christ? Teach others to obey everything Christ has commanded you. Again, you have obstacles, you have challenges, and you have objections and questions. You say, I don't feel qualified to teach others. I mean, who am I? I'm just an adolescent disciple. Friends, Jesus will say this to you. You are able to disciple somebody now. You should teach someone else to obey Jesus. Whatever that you know today, you may not know everything, but you know something, and therefore Jesus is saying, teach that portion, that knowledge, that philosophy, that teaching of Jesus Christ to someone else who doesn't know that yet. If you are an adolescent disciple, well, there's somebody who is an infant disciple, or there's somebody who doesn't know Jesus. So when Christ has baptized them, it starts, the discipleship journey starts with investing your life in the life of someone who's far away from Christ. In Ephesians, it says, you are spiritually dead if you're not in Christ. So start with someone like that in your life. Someone does not know as much about Jesus as you do. There's somebody like that in your life right now whom Christ sent your way. I like to play golf once in a while. Now, I don't get to do that often in Edmonton because the summer seasons are so short. I think I played maybe five rounds of golf this past summer. I am really thankful for it, but here's my point. My handicap is about 18. Given the day that I'm playing the game, 18 handicap. You know what that means? That means, I'm mediocre, okay. Now, I'm no Tiger Woods, but my handicap is not 50 either, meaning I could teach some of you how to play golf. Here's how you hold a grip. Here is how you swing the club. Here is what you got to do with your head position. Again, I don't know everything about golf, but I know something about golf. And surely, I could teach someone how to play golf. Just like that, Jesus is saying, invest your life in someone else by teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Now, so we make disciples by going, by baptizing, by teaching, and by entrusting. And here's where the Apostle Paul's example is so, so valuable. Let me read from 2 Timothy chapter 2, receive the word. Paul is writing this to his disciple Timothy. So get this. The Apostle Paul was discipled by Jesus Christ. And now the Apostle Paul invested his life, his energy, and his passion into the life of young Timothy. And now Paul is entrusting Timothy to keep the movement going, to continue the movement of multiplying Jesus. So here is what he says. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. The key word in the 2 Timothy is the word entrust. It means to commit, to pass on, to invest in. You see, Paul is saying to Timothy, Christ entrusted to me how to make disciples. And now I have entrusted that, making disciples who make disciples, in you, Timothy. Now you decide how you may, how you are able, how you should put that entrust, how to make disciples, into the lives of other reliable men who can teach others also. There are five generations: Jesus, Paul, Timothy, the reliable man, and who will teach others. Five generations happening simultaneously. And that's why Jesus' mission is a movement. It's a movement. Friends, question for you. Who is your son in the faith? Who is your spiritual daughter? Do you have grandchildren? I don't mean physically. I mean in the faith of Christ. Have you made disciples? And those are your children in your faith. And have your disciples made others disciples? That makes you a grandparent. And that is the kingdom idea. That is the kingdom equation. Christ is commanding you to continue his movement by multiplying Jesus. And here's the promise. Christ ends by saying, and surely I am with you always to the end of the age. Now, I used to think that was a very comfortable saying. You know, hey, Victor, as I'm sending you, you go up and make disciples. And as you go make disciples who make disciples who make disciples, I am with you to the very end of the age. Well, here's a better understanding of that verse. The word, the end of age, it appears only twice in the entire book of Matthew, right here in chapter 28, but also in chapter 23. In chapter 23, the context of the passage in which the word was mentioned was Jesus was referring to the end of the age, the end times, when Christ will return. He's talking about the judgment day. He's talking about when he will return. Okay? So what he's saying is this. I am not returning as of today because I'm waiting for you to go and make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. I am waiting. I am delaying. That's the word. I am delaying my return to the world because I am investing in you in such a way that you are making disciples who make disciples. And when there are all the disciples that I'm calling to myself by using you, Victor, and all the rest of you, then I shall return. So this is not only a comfortable saying of Jesus, this is a challenge. He is delaying his return because we have not made disciples who made disciples who made disciples. Again, you're hearing what Jesus is saying and you're feeling, I don't feel qualified. I don't feel ready. I feel timid. I don't have the experience. I don't have the knowledge. What would Jesus say to you? He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That word authority in Greek means exousia. It means power, power. I have the power and I have given that power to you, authority to make disciples. When I first came to Canada back in 2008 from the U.S., I almost killed a man, an old man. Now, I didn't mean to, I didn't want to, but I almost did. Well, here's why. It was my fault. I was driving on Collingway Road, and the speed limit there is 60 kilometers. And I'm driving, and all of a sudden, I see this old man, he looked like in his 90s, walking with a cane. He starts to cross the road. And I had to come to a screeching halt. I slam on the brakes. And I roll down the window. I say, "Hey, old man, what are you doing? I almost killed you." And the old man was walking like this. He turns to me and he says, and he points to the sign, which says, "Crossing zone." See, in the U.S., the pedestrians yield to the vehicles. But in Canada, it's the reverse. The motorists, the vehicles, cars, yield to the pedestrians, right? And a man versus car, who's going to win that? Who's going to win that standoff? A man, 90-year-old, frail man with a cane versus a car. Of course, it's the car, but not so. Why not? Because he had authority. He said, "Stop." Now, that's the power of authority. He didn't feel more powerful than the car. He didn't feel more stronger than the car. But what he had was authority. He had authority to stop the car with just a simple hand gesture. And that's what Jesus is giving you. He's giving you his authority. You're not making disciples with your own might. You are doing it in his power. And in his power, there is authority. You don't know how? Like I said, whatever you know today, you are able to disciple someone else. And we do that by scripture. In the scripture, we get to know Jesus. Share the scripture. Prayer. In prayer, we get to meet Jesus. Show them how to pray. In generosity, we show Jesus with our time, talents, and treasure. We show Jesus' generosity to other people. Show them how to do that. Community. We belong with Jesus in the body of Christ, with one another. Show them how to do that. Sent out. We go with Jesus. Jesus sending you and me out. And simply show them how to do that. You and I have no excuse. You might say, "I don't have time. I'm so busy." Now, here's Jesus' question to you, rather. Do you have your time management properly or sorted out? Have you aligned your time according to the priorities of Jesus' priorities? Remember, a disciple is what? Someone who is devoted to Christ as to what he's devoted to. And whatever is important to him is important to you. I feel very convicted about all this. In my sermon preparation, I felt as if the Holy Spirit saying, "Victor, I'm holding you accountable. Why do you set the bar so low? Why are you not teaching people to obey everything I commanded you?" And that's true. I kept the bar low for your sake. And the Holy Spirit said, Teach them to obey everything I commanded you. Put the bar high. How high? As high as Jesus sets it. Everything he taught me, he's saying, teach you to obey all that. And that's why for the rest of the year, in the year 2020 and year 2021, we feel very called by the elders and staff at Mosaic House Church to focus on making disciples who make disciples who make disciples. So more on that later on. Again, the theme and the goal is Jesus is commanding you to continue his movement to multiply Jesus by going, by baptizing, by teaching, and by entrusting. Let me end with a story. Michael was someone who was far away from Christ. Somehow, the Holy Spirit led him to my path. But I wasn't being passive. I was looking for the opportunity. So when the opportunity presented itself, I was ready to engage. I wasn't perfect. I didn't know everything. But what I did know back then, I simply shared it with Michael. And Michael sends a card to me once a year saying, "Victor, ever since that day, I have not stopped reading the Bible, not even one day. And it's been over 10 years now. I wonder what he's going to say about Victor at my funeral. Will he say, 'Victor was used by the risen Christ. And he made me a disciple who made disciples who made disciples. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, one thing that we want to do today is to be obedient to you. You are the sovereign Lord, sovereign King. You have said much. You have empowered much to us today. And I just want to say to you, Lord, as far as I'm concerned, as far as all my friends are concerned who are in this worship hour, in this worship place, may we say, yes, Jesus. I'm not fully prepared. I lack confidence. But in the power, in the authority of your Lordship, here go I. May that be our prayer now. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.